in the last interim that I had, I would give the church the outline of my message. And I would let them know that, you know, if things got a little slow, you'd have something to write on, something to read. So now you have that here. I'm not used to being the one not putting that out. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 5 and just the few verses 13 through 15. Now, let's go ahead and stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. I'll read those three verses and then we'll jump right into the message. Joshua chapter 5 verse 13. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite of him with his sword drawn, I don't know why I couldn't get that up, with his sword, in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No. Rather, I indeed come now as the captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Father God, I pray that as we come into your presence, and indeed you visit us in power and might and love and light, that you begin to minister to our innermost needs, that you begin to work from our inside all the way out, that you begin to move us closer to yourself and to one another. I pray, Father, that your presence will cause us to understand that we are indeed on holy ground. For wherever you are, that place is holy. So, Father, I pray tonight that you'll call us aside, that you'll help us to see, and help us to respond to you in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. We love you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to just go over where we've been. Sunday morning we talked about from the ending to the beginning. And things have to come to an end. And we tend to wrestle with what God's telling us is next. And then the new begins. Sunday night we looked at three choices. We're going to keep doing what we're doing and expecting something different. Are we going to decide to join up with other folks? And it doesn't really matter what they're doing, but seems to work, so we'll just do their thing. Or third choice, do we take the risk and follow God? Monday night, we looked at being revealed by the storm. We need to be careful that what we build on the rock, the foundation of our soul, through the Word of God, by getting the Word of God in us, so that when the storms of life come, we can stand. Tuesday night, we talked about who you are in Christ, and that Joshua and Joseph, or Jacob and Joseph, worshipped, and they looked to the future, and then we saw that what we do next shows what we really believe. And then tonight, we're going to look at being oriented to God. Oriented to His plan. Oriented to joining Him in what He's up to. Tonight we looked at Joshua. You know, Joshua has seen God move in his life for many years. For 40 years, he saw God move, and he followed God and followed Moses. He saw Moses die, and then God said to him, "You're the new leader." And then he took Israel across Jordan into the land of promise. And when they got on the other side, the manna stopped and they ate for the first time from the provision of God's promise. And they were circumcised. And then Joshua set out to the task of taking the land that God had promised them. And the first battle, Jericho, was just about to happen. See, Joshua had already led them to send the spies in, and they found Rahab, and they were all set and ready to go. And then we have this little kind of an aside. It kind of feels like it doesn't quite fit in the flow of the scriptures. Here's Joshua trying to get the people of God ready to go in and take this walled city, and God stops him. If you look in the book of Joshua, you'll see that he had to start with Joshua by encouraging him, to give him confidence. He said in Joshua 1:3, "Every place on which the sole of your feet tread, I have given it to you, just as I have spoken to Moses." I don't know how that works with you, but for me, if I knew wherever I step, it's mine, I'd do a lot of stepping. But it's God's promise. He wanted to give him confidence that as you serve me, I'm right there with you. You can't turn to the right or the left because I'll buffet you, keep you from going that way. You want to serve me? Let's go. Well, what about us today? God wants us to move forward in confidence as well. And he tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For as many as are the promises of God in him, they are yes. Therefore, also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us." What is the scripture telling us? You want to know what God's answer is when you read the promise of the Word of God and whether I should practice what God tells me to do? God says the answer is yes. Don't delay. Let's just get going. That should give us confidence. God is with us. He wants to be with us. God had to help Joshua with some fears. In Joshua 1:7, he says, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, and do not turn to the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." He's told him several times, be confident. You get the idea that maybe Joshua was going into this with some fear. I've never been the leader of all these people before, and here I am being placed in this position. It's fearful to be put in that kind of a place. But when we're following God, we need to know that we can have the same kind of confidence as believers today. In 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God did not give us the spirit of timidity or cowardice or craving or cringing or fawning or fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind, discipline, self-control." When I became interim of one of our churches in Bay Lakes, they had just completed a new educational wing. I found out from talking to them, it was quite a bit bigger than what they first thought they wanted to build, and it cost a lot more than they were first told that it might. They had an associate pastor who was in charge of the building program, and before the building was finished, he resigned and went somewhere else. And as soon as the building was finished, before the first payment was made, the senior pastor resigned and moved away. The senior pastor had taken all the responsibilities in the church. When he left, nobody knew what to do, how to do, when to do, why to do, and nobody certainly knew how in the world they were going to pay for that building. They called me in and asked if I would come in and be their interim, and they promised me that they wouldn't pay me anything because they didn't have any money. They were looking at their accounts, and they knew they couldn't make the very first building payment. There began to be some talk around And they wanted to include me as much as possible because they figured I might know something about this. They said, you know, I think we ought to go ahead and sell the building. We can get enough out of it to pay it off, and then we can go move somewhere else and rent something and build back up. And then, of course, they were also saying, why would God do this to us? Why would He leave us here not knowing what to do and not being able to pay for our building? They were hopeless, they were afraid, they were broke, and they didn't have any leaders. So I took the opportunity to preach. And some of you know I probably had a short sermon. But I talked to them about what it is that God called this church to do and to be in the first place. We are the people of God. God has promised He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He promised that if we will serve Him, He'll take care of us. And I challenged them that we ought to do what God has set us up as a church to do and let God take care of the details, such as paying the bills. That if we'll be faithful and tithe, we'll be faithful and attend, we'll be faithful in encouraging one another, we'll be faithful in sharing a witness and inviting friends and seeing people come to Christ, that God will bless this church and we'll be able to go on. Somehow, the first month, they paid their first month's building payment. Then I found out they had some other contractors whose money didn't get put into the building loan, so they had $1,300 or so that they needed to pay on this, and then they bought some gravel or something, and they didn't put that into the building loan, and so they had $700 or $800 over here to do that. And we're finding out, just paying the building payment, well, that was good, but there were other things coming due. And we had a month of hand-wringing, and at the same time deciding we will be faithful and we'll do what God called us to do. The attendance hadn't turned around yet, but the spirit of the church at the end of the second month, when the treasurer announced, we paid our bill. Now, we still had the other contractors that we were hoping to get paid some other day, but the church was current with everything else. Second month. At the end of about 9 months of their being interim there, we had paid off all of the contractors, we'd paid off any back payments, we were current with our monthly payment, and the treasurer announced to the church that we had savings. And we had enough money coming in that we could hire an interim. So they fired me. The guy that we worked with to get interim is their full-time pastor, by the way. In the midst of the change that can take place, in the midst of God calling us to move forward, we can become disoriented. We can become afraid. We can become self-conscious. We can become even prideful. We get our eyes off of Jesus and onto the problems or onto personalities, and we forget what it is that God has called us to be about to begin with. We get the focus off of God, and we are no longer acting like the people of God, doing the will of God, following the plan of God, so that God can bless us the way He wants to. We need to get reoriented. The very presence of God. You see, that's what happened to Joshua here. He walked in, and here's this guy with a whatever that sharp instrument was. And he asked the question. Now listen to the question. It comes down to, hey, are you on my side or on their side? Now, I know you've never heard that question in church before. But that's what he was asking, isn't it? Now, what does that say to you about where Joshua was? Joshua probably was afraid. Joshua was about to lead the first battle. Joshua had not gone to school to learn military exercise and how to take down great walls. He was probably scared to death. He was looking at these people who are a nomadic people who had wandered around in the desert, and he thought, I'm going to take this group of people and we're going to take down the walls of Jericho and defeat this mighty city. There's absolutely no way. So it just seems logical that in the midst of all of this, when he sees an armed man, he wants to know, are you for us or against us? Are you for us or are you for them? And I love this commander of the Lord's army's response. No. If you want to know what God's will for your life is, you've got to ask the right questions. Joshua asked the wrong question. And the only answer God was capable of giving him at that point was, wrong. No. You know that's not what he was looking for. It's probably not what a lot of you have wanted to have told to you in the midst of trying to decide some things, and you ask God or you ask somebody else and they don't have an answer for you. Well, they don't have an answer because you've asked the wrong question. It's not about you. It's not about the circumstance. It's not about the stuff. It's not about all the buzz going on around you. If we are the people of God serving God, it is about God. So God couldn't answer his question. Paul saw that kind of stuff in the church, you know, in 1 Corinthians 3, 9, 4 through 9. Paul said, some of you say, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. But who are they but mere men? What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believe, even the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, and God caused the growth. So neither one of them who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who caused the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one receives his own reward for his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. When we choose up sides, guess who loses? God. The church. We need to hear what the leader of the Lord's army said to Joshua. No. Stop it. Paul says that when he became a man, he put away childish ways. We're never more childish than when we're focused on what we want instead of what God wants. We need to get our focus back. We need to reorient ourselves to be on God's side. You see, He has a side. You may or may not be on it. And God doesn't choose which side He's going to take. He has a side and He invites you to join Him on His side. So if you think there are two sides, you're wrong. There's at least three. Theirs, mine, and God's. And He wants you to reorient back to Him. The Scripture tells us in Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what we need to do. Despite He set forth the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus didn't lose His vision, His focus, His orientation to God. We're not that fortunate. We're human. And we can lose our focus, our orientation, pretty easily. When we're reoriented to the presence of God, we get like Joshua, who is reminded whose He is. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I am Christian. I am His. Joshua said, when he said no, rather indeed I came now as the captain of the Lord of hosts, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth, bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord got to say to his servant? At that point, Joshua realized he's not worried about whose side anymore. He realized he was in the presence of God, and he fell on his face. Guys, you go through the scriptures, and I know there's a song. What would I do when I get to heaven? Will I shout? Will I sing? Will I raise my arms? Will I dance? Will I fall on my face and be quiet? Seems like more times than not, they fall on their face before Almighty God. We need to realize that we need to get oriented back to who God is in our life. Now, Joshua had learned from his past. We see the things of Joshua that God had fought for his children, and Joshua was many times out in the fray. He showed himself strong, he cared for his people, he protected them. Sometimes he even had to protect the children of Israel from some of the other children of Israel. He observed working with Moses. He followed the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day for 40 years. God's presence was with Moses. The word of God came to Moses. Moses knew the ways of God and communicated to the people of God. God spoke to Joshua after the death of Moses. God brings them to the edge of the promised land with the river Jordan overflowing, and Joshua prepared the people to cross over. He had the priests put the poles in the ark, and they led the way into that flooded Jordan. And God stopped up the water way up in Adam, and they crossed across on dry land.